our attention now to, once again, matters of Pesach. And I wanted to devote some time to discuss one of the pillars of Seder night, and that is the mitzvah of Arba Kosos, the four cups of wine, or for those who do not tolerate wine, grape juice. And there are certain distinctive features about this mitzvah, of course. If it's four cups of wine, some people are inclined not to ask too many questions or to make too many inquiries, but nonetheless, they are something that need and deserve our understanding. Firstly, the mitzvah of Arba Kosos belongs to a special group of mitzvahs, and that is the mitzvah of Pirsumei Nisa, of publicizing a miracle. And there are certain mitzvahs that are in that category. Notable among them are reading of the Megillah on Purim, Chanukah lights on Chanukah, and so too the Arba Kosos. And this is responsible, according to the Rambam, as explained by the Magid Mishnah, for an interesting halacha that relates to the four cups, which is stated in the beginning of the 10th parak of Psachim, Arvei Psachim, which states, "V'lo yifchasu lo me arba koso shel yayin." They shall not give him less than the wherewithal, the means to obtain four cups of wine. Afilu min atamchoi, even if he's someone who is sustained by tzedakah, and tzedakah takes care of his most basic needs. The four cups of wine on Seder night are considered a basic need, and tzedakah must make provisions. The Rambam has a famous ruling in Hilchos Chanukah, and that is that at least the basic amount of oil, says Rambam, a person needs to do whatever it takes in order to obtain the oil sufficient to light, even if it involves begging or borrowing or selling something in order to obtain it. And that's somewhat unusual, because with regards to many mitzvahs, and don't forget this is Hanukkah is a mitzvah of the Rabbanon, at a certain point we'll say that if a person can't afford it, so then perhaps he's exempt from the mitzvah. He doesn't have. But when it comes to Hanukkah, that there is no acceptable situation of doesn't have. If he doesn't have, he needs to get. But where does that come from? Where does the added stringent measure of doing whatever it takes to obtain the wherewithal for that mitzvah, from where does that derive? Says the Magid Mishnah, the Rambam got it from the Mishnah of Arba Kosos. Because what is it about Arba Kosos that makes us say that even if receiving basic needs from tzedakah, they need to provide for this as well? It's because the four cups are Pirsumei Nisa. They are there to publicize a miracle. And that sets a tone and a precedent for all such mitzvahs that are Pirsumei Nisa. Says Rambam, one needs to do whatever it takes. And therefore, it's a very interesting, not only perspective, but it gives us perspective on the four cups. Each of the four cups is Pirsumei Nisa, is publicizing the miracle of Yetzias Mitzrayim. But if we go a little deeper into the, shall we say, halachic makeup of the cups themselves, and I'd like to do so by referring to two situations that are discussed in the Gemara. This is in Maseches Psachim in Daf Kuf Ches. I should preface, this is the reading of the Rif and Rambam. And as we know, the Gemara has to be prepared for anything. What could be simpler than Arba Kosos? But there's always someone who might make it a little bit more complicated. And the Gemara discusses the following two scenarios. Firstly, says the Gemara, back in the day, in the times of the Gemara, the wine was considered not so easy to drink unless it was diluted, so much so that it needed three parts water to one part wine in order to make it palatable, and that was considered the optimum. It's extremely b'dievet to drink wine straight. This is in those days. In our times, we don't seem to have that problem, and in fact, adding too much water could compromise the wine. But in any case, says the Gemara, shesa'on chai, what if a person used undiluted wine for the Arba Kosos? Has he fulfilled the obligation? Has he not fulfilled the obligation? Says the Gemara, yidei Arba Kosos yotze, he's been yotze the mitzvah of Arba Kosos. Yidei cherus lo yotze, but he has not fulfilled the mitzvah of freedom, of displaying freedom. So that's an interesting situation, because he fulfills one thing but not the other. He fulfills abrakosos but not freedom. Okay. There is a converse case. As we know, all of the abrakosos are positioned at strategic points in the Seder. There's Kiddush, and there's Haggadah. That was quick. Haggadah. And there's benching, and there's halal. Each of them is at a certain set point. What if a person drank the four cups one after the other? Shesa'an bevas achas. 1, 2, 3, 4. Says the Gemara, Yidei chemris yotza. He's fulfilled the mitzvah of freedom. Yidei abrakosos leyotza, but he hasn't fulfilled abrakosos. And of course, what behooves us to try and understand is, what is the meaning of prizing apart these two things? As far as we're concerned, they're one and the same. There's a concept called abrakosos, and what are they all about? About displaying freedom. There's two ways of saying the same thing. And yet, if we look closer, we see that they're apparently not the same thing. And sometimes you can be yotzei one, and sometimes you can be yotzei the other. So what is abrakosos, and what is chayrus within these cups? That is the question. There is a fascinating comment or possibility that's entertained by Tosfos with regards to that comment of the Mishnah that we said, the ruling that they should not give him less than four cups of wine. Lo yifchasu lo mi'arbakoso shayan. They shouldn't give him less than four cups. Says Tosfos, if you read this literally, it sounds as if we're saying that it's only him that needs four cups. Which sounds simple, but the point is, it sounds like even if he has a wife and children, but Stocker only needs to make provisions for him having the four cups. And moreover, says Tosos, it actually makes sense when you think about it, because how is it different than Kiddush? Is it true that everyone drinks a cup of wine in Kiddush? No, only the one who makes Kiddush. Everyone else just needs to be there, needs to be listening. So the abrakosos don't seem to be different than that. So one set of four cups could do for the entire family. That's what it sounds like, says Tosfos. However, the Tosfos conclude that practically one should not rely on this, and one should certainly see that everyone has their four cups. But of course, as is often the case, we're more intrigued by what Tosfos thought might be the case as what they conclude practically is the case. How is it possible to even entertain the notion that one set of four cups is enough for the entire family? He drinks and everyone else is yotzim. It doesn't work that way. And on Sukkot, there's four species, and everyone needs to do the mitzvah. You can't just say, as long as the leader of the balabais, he takes the arbaminim, everyone else is fine. Everyone has the mitzvah. So if we may ask, manishtana, mitzvah azos, mikol mitzvahs, that it's even a possibility that one person could drink the four cups for the entire household. And this question is addressed by no less than Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. And Rav Chaim explains, let's talk about Kiddush just for a moment. It's important to have correct halachic perspective on Kiddush, because what is incorrect to say is that the mitzvah of Kiddush is to drink a cup of wine. That is not the mitzvah at all. The core of the mitzvah of Kiddush is to say words of Kiddush. It's really the blessing in the evening and the morning. That's the mitzvah. And everyone is yotzei because they hear the person saying those words, just like your yotzei when you hear him read the Megillah and you hear him whatever else it is. So too here, when he says Kiddush, so everyone is yotzei. That's the ikur of the mitzvah. On a Torah level, all you need is words for Kiddush. Now, the Rabbanon added an element, namely that Kiddush should be said over a cup of wine. That's a new element now. And what is the goal? The goal is that this, shall we say, enhances or elevates or adorns the mitzvah, that now it's a more chashiva type of pronouncement having been made over wine. At lahavdil, as is often the case. Sometimes when you wish a person well, you really wish them well when it's over a cup of wine. That's lahavdil, it's like a toast. So obviously, at the risk of oversimplifying, but we do see that a certain element is added by saying something over a cup of wine. And that's the role of the wine. Now, once that's true, that cup attains a special status. It's called Kos Shel Bracha, a cup over which you pronounced a blessing. Okay, once that's true, so there now becomes a mitzvah to taste from that cup, to partake of that cup. Why? Because that seals the role of the cup as the item that accompanied the blessing. So in other words, the cause and effect here is it begins with a bracha, but because you make a bracha over wine, so that now becomes a blessed cup of wine, a cup of bracha, and therefore one partakes of the cup as a way of sealing the bracha. That, in a nutshell, is Kiddush and Havdalah. That's the way it works. Which means that the emphasis, the critical emphasis, is not on drinking the wine, but rather on tasting from a cup over which you pronounced a bracha. Says Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, Tosfos are of the understanding that on Seder night, that is exactly what happens four times over. Meaning what is true for Kiddush every Shabbos becomes quadruply true on Seder night. But nothing essentially has changed. Only the volume has increased of these types of cups. As if to say, if for a normal Shabbos or Yom Tov you have one cup over which you pronounce the blessing of Kiddush, one Kos Shel Bracha, come Seder night you have four Kos Shel Bracha, because not only do you pronounce Kiddush over a cup, but also you say the Haggadah over the cup, and also you bench over a cup, and also you say Halal over a cup. Those are four variations of things that are then enhanced by saying them over a Kos Shel Bracha. Interestingly, this has practical ramifications because we fill the second cup almost immediately after partaking of the first one. Kadesh, Orchatz, Karpetz, Yachatz, and before we start Magid, we fill the second cup. It's not one of those things to confuse the child. By this stage, he's either confused or he's not confused. But rather, it's because the second cup is the cup over which we will recite the Haggadah. So you fill it before you begin to recite the Haggadah. The Haggadah is to the second cup, what Kiddush is to the first cup, and benching and Halal are to the third and fourth. So this is the perspective of Tosfos on the Arba Kosos, four Kosos Shel Bracha. And therefore, says Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, don't be surprised if the Tosfos are considering the possibility that perhaps you just need one set of four cups for the entire family. Because just like Kiddush, it's enough that one person drinks and everyone listens and is thus connected to what he's doing, so too for numbers 2, 3, and 4. That's the four cups according to Tosfos. As we will see, the Rambam makes it very clear that he does not look at the four cups in the same way that Tosfos do. Because the Rambam states in Hilchos Chametz Matzah, in Perek Zayin, Halacha Zayin, V'kol echad ve'echad chayav lishtos balayla hazeh arba koso shel yayin. Each and every person is obligated to drink on this night four cups of wine. The Rambam has stated in no uncertain terms, in a most linear fashion possible, that the mitzvah is to drink the cups of wine, just like the mitzvah is to eat a kazayis of matzah and maror, etc. It's about the drinking itself. That's the first point. But the truth is, there's further background to Rambam. The well-known statement of the Haggadah, towards the end of Magid, which says, "Bechol dor vador chayv adam liros es atzmo ki'ilu hu yotza mi'mitzrayim." In each and every generation, a person should see himself as if he came out of Mitzrayim. As we've noted a number of times, the Rambam's formulation differs in two nuances from that formula, which make a big difference. The words of the Rambam are "Bechol dor vador." Chayav Adam leharos es atzmo. Our nusach in the Haggadah says liros es atzmo, to see himself. That's a question of self-perspective. Leharos atzmo means to display himself. Ki ilu hu yotza Avtal Mimitzrayim, as if he has just now come out of Mitzrayim. And the way Meforshim of Rambam explain, this is one of the unique features of the way we tell the story on Seder night. Throughout the course of the year, there's a mitzvah to remember Yetziat Mitzrayim as a past event. But on Seder night, the mitzvah is that he should display himself as if he just now came out of Mitzrayim. And Rambam continues, Lefichach. Therefore, Amru Chachamim, when we eat and drink on this night, it's Mesubim. It's reclining. In other words, the placement of the mitzvah of Mesubim, according to the Rambam, is an application of this mitzvah that a person should display himself as if he just now came out of Mitzrayim, that celebratory way. And the second thing, says Rambam, Kol echad ve'echad chayev lishtos b'layla zeh arba kosos shel yayin. The four cups of wine are likewise a fulfillment of displaying that celebration that he has just now come out of Mitzrayim. What's fascinating about the way the Rambam has really brought everything together and presented these things is that the two mitzvahs of Mesubim, reclining, and Arba Kosos, they are derabbanon, because the Rabbanon said these are things that a person is required to do, but in a sense, they're actually a fulfillment of a mitzvah de'oraisa. Because the psukim, based on psukim, we derive this obligation, a person should display himself as if he came out of Mitzrayim. Now, the Torah doesn't say how. You can find some other way, perhaps you could have. The Rabbanon regulate it, in a sense, and give it a set way of doing things. It's through Mesubim, and it's through the Arba Kosos. So the obligation to display oneself as celebrating in those ways specifically, that's the Rabbanon. But ultimately, they are in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Laharos Atzmo Ki'ilu Hu Yatzo Mimitzrayim. And that's why the focus is on the four cups themselves. And should we ask, at the end of the day, analytics aside, is there a difference between Tosis's approach and Rambam's approach? There is. It will express itself very practically in the following way. How much of Arba Kosos, of each cup, does a person need to drink? It's a good shaila. And the Gemara discusses this in the 10th Perek of Psachim. The Gemara says, as if a person has drunk Rov Kos, the majority of the cup, he's Yotzei. Okay, how much is a majority of a cup? Well, how much is a cup? Every kos that's a kosher bracha needs to have a revius, and let us take the standard revius as 86 milliliters. There are those who have the larger shear of 150, what's called shear chazanish. The standard shear is 86, which means, without getting too much into the numbers, a rove of 86 is 44, and there's your rove revius, and your yotzei. The question is, where is this coming from? Where are we getting this rov revius and that's the amount? What does it mean? Says Tosfos, we have now discovered, finally, the volume of a rather elusive concept that exists throughout Shas called melo lugmav, a cheekful. Because if you look in the Gemara, which deals with halachas of Kiddush, it says that what does one need to partake of the cup of Kiddush? A cheekful, melo lugmav. Now go figure out how much is a cheekful. What does that mean? We'd like to have numbers. That says the Tosfos. Well, now you know, we discovered through the discussion of Arba Kosos that a cheekful is quantified as the majority of a revius, 44 mil. Now you know. In a sense, this is Tosfos, as we would say, lishitasam, meaning, since Tosfos see that the four cups are at heart four kosos shel bracha, so whatever is true for the four cups is true for any kos shel bracha, like Kiddush generally. Which means the amount that you should need from the four cups is no different than the amount you should need from Kiddush on Friday night. So if in one place it says a cheekful, and the other place it says rov revius, that's two ways of saying the same thing, and we've actually discovered how much a cheekful is. Rov revius. That is Tosfos's position. However, it's clear that the Rambam does not equate these two things, a cheekful and the majority of the cup. How do we see this? Because in Hilchos Kiddush, the Rambam says you need a cheekful. And in Hilchos Abrakosas, he uses the expression, the majority of the cup. Now, when the Rambam has brought all of the Shas together, all of the Talmud together, he has no need to preserve these two different ways of talking about the same thing, if they really are the same thing. Why would the Rambam not refer to both occasions as cheekful, or on both occasions, Rov Kos? Rather, says Rav Velvel Soloveitchik, continuing from his father, Rav Chaim, we see that according to the Rambam, these two things are not connected at all. And the reason is very simple. When it comes to Kiddush, so Kiddush, all agree, is purely a Kos Shel Bracha. And therefore, how much does one need to partake? A, what we call a significant taste, a chashuva taste. And that's a malo lugmav, however much that is. So it's all about partaking from the cup that one recited a bracha over. But when it comes to Arbakosas, Rambam's already told us the point is not partaking of the cup, the point is drinking the cup. So malo lugmav has nothing to do with it. Rather, for Rambam, it's completely different, the idea of Rov Kos. Namely, the mitzvah is to drink the entire cup, because that's the mitzvah. The concept of being Yotzei, if you had the majority of the cup, is because in all matters of Torah, majority constitutes the totality. Rov Kekol. We always follow the majority. In this case, the Rov of the cup is considered rated as having drunk the entire cup. So it's a completely different dynamic. It couldn't be more different from Tosfos. Because Rov Kos is not an amount of wine that's called Melo Lugmav. It's got nothing to do with the Melo Lugmav. It's got to do with the cup. And moreover, Rov Kos is Bidiyeved, because Lechatchila, one should drink the whole cup, according to Rambam. And that is a practical outcome which the Shulchan Aruch actually paskens. Lechatchila, one should drink the whole cup, Bidiyeved, most of the cup. But what's very interesting is, according to the Rambam, the bigger the cup, the more one would have to drink, even to get to a majority. According to Tosos, a cheekful doesn't change depending on the cup. A person's cheeks don't get bigger just because his Kiddush cup got bigger. And therefore, if it's just another way of saying 44 mil, that's 44 mil regardless of how big the cup is, because it's all about that chosh of a taste. But according to Rambam, it's about the cup. The majority can represent the whole, but the bigger the whole, the bigger the majority. And that's why, and this is actually codified by Ramban, if a person had a cup with 10 revias' worth of someone brought him a Negobasser cup and he thought it's for the Arbakosos, so actually to drink, to be yotze the mitzvah of that cup, he would need to drink 5 plus a little bit revias', because it's always about the whole, and bidiyeved, the majority like the whole. So these are major discussions about the conceptual underpinnings of the four cups. But now, just to conclude this discussion, says Rav Velvel Soloveitchik, the two visions of Tosos and Rambam are not as distant as we might think. They're not exclusive to each other. For Tosos, clearly, these four cups are only kosher bracha, as we have seen. But for the Rambam, there is no question that they are also kosher bracha. In other words, for Tosfos, there's only one aspect to these cups, kosher bracha. For Rambam, there are two aspects. Number one, cheirus, that's how it begins, display of freedom. And number two, kosher bracha. And the truth is that these two aspects, and moreover, two stages, can be seen explicitly in the Gemara. Because the Gemara says, in 10th Perek of Pesachim, Daf Kuf Yud Zayin, Arba kasei takinu rabbanon, derech cheirus. The rabbanon were metaken four cups as a display of freedom. Kol chad v'chad neved be mitzvah. Let us perform a mitzvah with each one of those four cups. What's fascinating about that statement is that it gives us in real time, so to speak, the progression of the takana. What begins as four cups per four cups, derech eirus, then became, and each cup then becomes a kos shel bracha, which means by the time you're finished, you are doing two things each time you drink one of those cups. Number one, displaying freedom, that's the ikar, takana, and number two, it's a kos shel bracha, depending on which cup it is, benching, halel, kiddush, haggadah. And that leads us to a final fascinating question, which is, if, according to the Rambam, every time you have one of those four cups, you're actually fulfilling two things, again, cheirus, and kosher bracha. is it ever possible to fulfill just one of them? Or is it all or nothing? And that leads us back to those two rulings in the Gemara Daf Kuf Ches with which we started. The Gemara discussed firstly someone who drinks undiluted wine, Shesa'on Chai. And the Gemara says, what's his status? Did he fulfill the mitzvah? Did he not fulfill the mitzvah? Says the Gemara, yes and no. He's fulfilled Arba Kosos, but he hasn't fulfilled Cheirus. And our question was, well, that's two ways of saying the same thing. No? Well, no. Because now we understand, when we talk about Arba Kosos, you mean the four cups as cups of bracha. When you talk about Cheirus, you're talking about the four cups as an expression of Cheirus. Because undiluted wine in the time of the Gemara was not so easy to drink, it's halachically wine, you're yotze, but that's not a display of freedom. So if he used that wine, so he's fulfilled in each case the arba kosos, kos shabrocha, because it is, but the cheirus is lacking, because that's not, it's not an enjoyable experience and it doesn't display freedom. So he's yotze one, but not the other. Arba kos shabrocha, but not cheirus. But there's also a converse case, and that is, what if he drank them one after the other? So there, the Gemara says, well, then the opposite is true. He has fulfilled Cheirus, but not Arba Kosos. And what does that mean? Well, says Rav Elbel Soloveitchik, because he has drunk four cups, and therefore each time he drinks the cup, that's a display of freedom, and it's one, two, three, four, and that he's done. What he's missed out on is Kos Shel Bracha, because he drank them one after the other, and not at the strategic points, each one accompanying its bracha. And that's why we say he's Yotze Cheirus, but not Arba Kosos. So that's quite a lot to think about while one is having one's Arba Kosos, but these are the classic discussions of the Rishonim regarding these cups. But to look now into the background of the four cups, there's a well-known statement of the Yerushalmi that the four cups correspond to the Arba Geulos, Votzesi, Vitzalti, Vega'alti, Velokachti. And if anyone knows one explanation of the four cups, it's that. But that's from the Yerushalmi. But there is actually an accompanying, there's more than one opinion there. The Chazal also state that these four cups correspond to the four exiles of the Jewish people. We know that we have experienced, and we're yet in number four, or variation thereof, of Bavel, and Persia, and Yavan, and Rome, and the four Galios. But now the question is, on a night that's meant to celebrate our liberation from Mitzrayim, why are we even mentioning the other Galios? I mean, that has yet to come. I mean, that's history that hasn't happened yet, and doesn't seem to be pertinent to Seder night. But the point is, as Mefarshim explain, all of the Galios, all of the subsequent four exiles, are very much connected to Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the reason why is because the exile in Mitzrayim, it has the relationship to the others, one could say, as a trunk to branches, whereby this is the core root exile experience, which then it's almost like Masa Ovo Siman Labonim, one could say, which means that in our formative period, this was our exile, which means that when we were redeemed from Mitzrayim, we already now have the potential for redemption from every subsequent exile. The energy begins with Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that is why we keep on going backwards and forwards on Seder night. Sometimes we're saying, this is what happened in Mitzrayim, and then every once in a while we say, and we should be redeemed from this galus. It's the two are connected. One draws from the other. It derives from the other. The more we tap into the core energy of Yetzias Mitzrayim on a root level, the more decisive a step we take towards activating redemption from the fourth and final branch of this galus. And that is why, paralleling the four expressions of Geula from Mitzrayim, we are conscious of the four exiles, all of which is wrapped up in, and redemption therefrom are all included within Yetzias Mitzrayim. There is a fascinating comment of the Maharal regarding the Arba Kosos. And as we know, one of the again, distinctive features of abrikosos, everyone is obligated in the mitzvah, men, women. Why is that a chiddush? Because it's a time-bound positive mitzvah from which women are generally exempt. But as Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi famously says, afein hayu ba'osu hanes, they're also involved in the miracle, also completely obligated in the mitzvah. It doesn't make a difference that it's time-bound. But the Maharal takes this one stage further and says that the four cups, not only are women obligated in the four cups are about women. How so? Yitzias Mitzrayim, as is described in the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, called Odi Hinei Zeba, Medaleg Al HaHorim, Mikapetz Al HaGvoz, and that means when the Beloved is coming, when Hashem is coming, so he skips over everything, Medaleg Al HaHorim, skipping over mountains, jumping over hills, in order to get to us. And the Medrash explains, this is a reference to Yetzias Mitzrayim, which was empowered through the merits of the Avos and the Imahos. And that's really part of what we say at the end, that song, which some people are not quite sure what to make of it. Echad miyodeya, shnayim miyodeya, shlosha, 1, 2, 3, 4, up to 13. All of those reflect agents that were contributing to the Yitzias Mitzrayim. And shlosha miyodeya, shlosha avos, arba miyodeya, arba imos, 3 fathers, 4 mothers. Because as the Medrash says, mikapetz al ha'horim, Hashem was, he jumped because of the mountains. The mountains refer to the fathers. Esso enay el ha'horim. Mikapetz al ha'gvoz, jumping again over the hills. That's the imos. In the merit of the avos and the imos, we were redeemed from Mitzrayim as a significant catalyst. Now the Maharal explains that the three foods that we eat on Seder night correspond to the 3 avos. We're not going to go into the details of that. Pesach, Matzah, and Maror. One is Avram, one is Yitzchak, one is Yaakov. And that leaves you with 4 cups of wine. And what do they correspond to? Says Maharal, they correspond to the Imos. And in fact, each cup, where it is, reflects a different one of the Imos. The first of the cup, and this is actually explained more at length by the Shaloh HaKadosh in his Perush on the Haggadah, his comments on the Haggadah more correctly. Because, as we know, once again, the 4 cups are, the junctures are Kiddush, Haggadah, Benching, and Challah. And how do these now correspond? Says the Shaloh HaKadosh, Kiddush corresponds to Sarah, and it's Sarah Rivka Rachel Leah. Kiddush is also Sarah, because Kiddush is about Hashem separating us from the nations of the world, and that was the venture and life's work of Sarah. She was her and Avram, es hanefesh asher asu b'charan. She brought people into Kiddusha. She converted people to godly living. Sarah Megeres, es hanashim. So she was the first one to be Mekadesh people, and Kiddush therefore corresponds to Sarah. The Haggadah corresponds to Rivka. Interestingly, Rivka has an association through one of the personalities that features very prominently in the Haggadah. He starts the whole thing off, and that's Lavan. Because we start Aramia Vedavi Vayerit Mitzrayim. The whole procedure of Golas Mitzrayim begins with Lavan, and there's many reasons why, which we've discussed in the past. But Lavan is the anti-personality to Rivka. I mean, they're brother and sister, they grew up together, and she got right everything that he got wrong. And therefore, the Haggadah, which tells the story initiated by Lavan, the cup over which we say the Haggadah corresponds to Rivka. From there, we move to Birchas Hamazon. Birchas Hamazon is about having food, having physical plenty and bounty and wherewithal, and the one who represents that in the Chumash is Yosef. Yosef is the provider. Yosef hu amashbir. And Yosef is the son of Rachel, and therefore the cup that accompanies Birchas Hamazon corresponds to Rachel. And finally, Halel. Halel corresponds to Leah, because Leah, as the Gemara says, was the first one to express gratitude to Hashem in the way that she did. Hapam Odeas Hashem. She calls her 4th son Yehuda, and therefore the Halel is in the province of Leah. And thus it really is a fascinating perspective on the 4 cups. Each one of them corresponds to one of the Imahs. Also worth contemplating on Seder night. There is a later understanding of these four cups, which is, again, all of these things, they give more and more depth of understanding into at least some of what's behind the four cups. The Vilna Gaon explains the idea of the four cups in the following way. As we know, and the Gemara states this in the beginning of the ninth Perek of Brachos, there are four individuals who, should they undergo a certain trying experience and then be saved from it, released from it, liberated from it, recover from it, they have a special obligation of hodah to Hashem. Arba'a chayovim lehodos. In our experience, those are people that would bench Gomel. Hagomel lechayovim tovos. Publicly. Who are those people? Well, as we know, they are someone whose health was in danger, who was sick, someone who was incarcerated and then released, someone who has traveled over through the sea, and someone who's traveled through the desert and made it through to the other side. Says Vilna Gaon, even our early experience, relatively, on leaving Mitzrayim, incorporated all four of these aspects. Meaning, as long as we're slaves in Mitzrayim, our health is at risk, we're at the mercy of people who do not care for our physical well-being, it's a situation of physical danger, no less than sickness, and from that we were released. We are avodim ayinu, incarcerated, enslaved, from that we're released. We went through the desert as we left Mitzrayim, and we went through the sea, to put it mildly, because we literally went through the sea. And therefore, amazingly, we are on a scale of Hoda'a, 4 for 4. And this is the Vilna Gaon gives us the four cups. Because each cup over which we make a bracha is an expression of gratitude to Hashem. As we say in Hallel, Kos Yeshuos Esa Uveshem Hashem Ekra. You lift up a cup of salvation and call out in the name of Hashem. That means you proclaim what it is that Hashem did for us each time. So these are four junctures at the Seder night where we express that Hoda'ah. And that really, again, is a fascinating perspective on the four cups. They are four times Hoda'ah, four Gomels. But what we do see from the words of the Vilna Gaon is that there is a theme, an atmospheric theme that runs through Seder night, and that is of Hoda'ah, of thanksgiving. In other words, it might be possible to approach Seder night either with historical interest, which is also important, and maybe purely celebratory, which is also important, but celebration without appreciation and without thanksgiving is not sufficient. That misses the point of Seder night. Because ultimately, it's about directing our appreciation of what we attained on Seder night, on the original Pesach, back towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who performed that for us. Which means the central theme of the Seder is, in fact, that of Hoda'ah. And this is enunciated by the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos. Again, he has a somewhat expanded version of words with which we're very familiar. We say in the Haggadah, Kol hamarbe lesaper, harei ze meshubach. The more you tell the story, the better it is. Either the better it is, or the better you are. Rambam, in Positive Mitzvah 157, in the Sefer HaMitzvos, says as follows, V'chol mi sheyosif b'ma'amar, the more a person elaborates and adds v'yarich b'tevarim and talks at length, b'agdolas mash'osel anu Hashem, aggrandizing and appreciating everything Hashem did for us, u'mash'osel anu ha-mitzrim, and that which the mitzrim did to us, and how Hashem took vengeance on our behalf, u'v'hodos lo al mash'e mikamalanu mechasada, and the more a person thanks Hashem for that which the kindness he bestowed to us, yihye yoter tov. We see that the Rambam injected within, or included, within the idea of kol amarve lesaper, a person who is marve to do what? Says the Rambam, tells the story and gives thanks to Hashem. That's an integral part of the mitzvah, because that's where it's meant to, that guides the mitzvah. And what's fascinating is, according to another of the Rishonim, this idea is explicit, black on white, in the words of the Mishnah. We have a concept. The Mishnah itself gives us some of the guidelines and parameters for how to tell the story in the end, again, of the 10th Perek of Psachim. And one of the things the Mishnah says is the famous sentence, Maschil b'gnus u'mesayim b'shevach. We begin, well, we know what gnus is. Genai, something that's degrading, negative. So, and therefore, how do we normally take these words? Maschil b'gnus u'mesayim b'shevach. We begin with a negative, which we do, avodim ayinu u'mesayim b'shevach. And then we conclude with the positive, because they're put together as point and counterpoint. And I know that the opposite of negative is positive, which means that we're, in a sense, conditioned. That shevach is something which is good. We begin with the bad and end with the good. Lo and behold, the Ritva, Rabbi Yontov of Seville, in his commentary to the Haggadah, says it is simpler than that. Maschil b'gnusim esayim b'shevach, one begins with that which is degrading, but concludes with shevach. What does that mean? Says the Ritva, lo say shevach v'odah l'Hashem, Hashem may ashbur serim evyon, to give praise to Hashem and thanksgiving to Hashem who brought us up from those depths. In other words, the Ritva took the radical step of translating the word shevach in its actually most primary sense, which is praise. And therefore, the direction here is we begin by recounting the negative in order to lead us not just to recounting the positive, but to praising Hashem over that. All of the evening starting with good should lead to shevach v'hoda'ah. And thus from Rambam, we see that the idea of hoda'ah is a central part of the evening, without, at the risk of belittling Seder night itself, but it's important to express it in this way. Seder night is nothing less than the original thanksgiving. And it's thanks for us, for our relationship with Hashem, and for everything that He did when He took us out of Mitzrayim. That's the atmosphere that accompanies the night, that permeates the night. And what's fascinating is, how do we see that the entire, every aspect of the evening is permeated by this? We do something quite radical, and that is we split Hallel into two, and we have the Seuda in the middle. And that is generally not done, at least in the shuls that I have davened in. Because normally when one starts Hallel, one sees it through to the end, you can make Kiddush afterwards. But here on Seder night, we take this incredible step, and we take Hallel, we split it into two. The biggest korech on Seder night is Shulchan Aruch, because it's sandwiched in between two parts of Hallel. But why do we do that? Says Reb Leib Mintzberg, Zatzal, in his Perush Ben Melech on the Haggadah, by splitting Hallel into two and surrounding the Seuda by Hallel, you are setting a tone for the Seuda itself. The Seuda itself, it was launched by Hallel, it will be concluded by Hallel, which means the whole thing is part of that continuum. That is an atmospheric way of elevating the Seuda itself to be part of the, it's part of what Hallel itself is. By enveloping it in Hallel, we elevate it to become part of the Hallel. That's the nature of the evening. And in fact, we may have mentioned a while back that this can give us insight into one of the questions, the first of the four questions of the Manishtana. We do not always scrutinize Manishtana, certainly not at the time. If it's a young child who's saying it, so attention tends to be on the child himself. That's the nature of these things. But if he says something, it still needs to be understood. I wouldn't necessarily recommend confronting him at the time. That might not work so well, but we do need to ponder it. He says, "Shebechol halelos anu ochlim chamitzu matzah." On all other nights, we eat chametz and matzah. Okay, halayla zekula matzah. Of that question, the only thing that's true is the second part. Tonight, only matzah. The first part, on all other nights, we eat chametz and matzah. Okay, but let's pause for a moment. When do we ever eat chametz and matzah? And how can we say that we do so on all other nights? I mean, that's a statement. And it doesn't seem to reflect anyone's practice. Now, one could perhaps deflect and say that what we mean to say is that whereas tonight is only matzah, on all other nights you can choose. You can decide if you want to eat chametz or matzah. which is true. But that's not what the Manishtana is saying. Because later on, when we talk about sitting and reclining, we say on all other nights we can eat bein yoshvin uvein mesubim, whether sitting or reclining, which means that is the way that you present two options that you have, bein this, uvein that. Which means if that's what we meant by chametz and matzah, we should have said, b'chol ha'leilos anu ochlim bein chametz uvein matzah. You can do what you want. But we don't say either or. We say both. We say anu ochlim chametz u'matzah. How can we account for the child? And we let it go. But how can we hear something But we don't do it? Says the Sefer Binyan Ariel, from one of the great Acharonim Rabbeinu Shaul of Amsterdam. He was a brother-in-law, I believe, of Yaakov Emden, cousin. We're missing background to Seder night. Soon as we fill in that background, all will fall into place. We mentioned that there are certain situations that require special hoda'ah, which we call benshin gomel, hagomel achayevim tovos. All those four situations. Now, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, it leads to more than gomel. It leads to a special type of korban, which is aptly named korban toda. It is a thanksgiving offering. And that is exactly for a person who's undergone those situations, and he's emerged through the kindness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he brings a korban. Now, the Korban Todah is very interesting. It has unique halachas. And foremost among them is that it's accompanied by 40 loaves of bread, which is a lot. Moreover, the time normally allotted for a shlomim, which is 2 days, and a todah is part of the shlomim family, it's curtailed to 1 day, as we say in Ezu Makoma. For shlamim, you have shnei yamin, v'layla echad. You have 2 days to finish a shlamim. Toda, just the 1 day. Oh, and one final thing. It is forbidden to leave korban food uneaten past the time. You put all of that together, namely, more food, less time, you've got to finish it by the time. So where does that leave you? It leaves you by getting in touch with people to come and join you for the partaking of that meal. It's got to be. The only alternative is you, a korban, 40 loaves of bread, and a clock. And maybe you'll finish everything by the morning. My personal feeling is if you manage to get through 40 loaves of bread by the end of the evening, you should probably bring another korban todah just for that experience. So clearly, the Torah is saying, so get people with you. Let them share it with you. But why is the Torah nudging you into this guest list? Because the Torah wants you to tell them why you're bringing a korban todah. This is the origins of presuming nissa. Get an audience. Get people with you. There's a reason why you're bringing a korban. Tell them about it. Be mefarse. And that is what we say in Halel when we talk about the korban todah. Lecha ezbach zevach todah uveshem Hashem ekra. What does that mean? The two parts of that pasuk refer to two stages in the process. The first is the actual bringing of the korban. Lecha ezbach zevach todah. I will offer for you a zevach todah. That's the korban, which takes place at day. And then V'shem Hashem Ekra. And then you once again call out in the name of Hashem, meaning tell everyone about it. Just like Kos Yeshua Esther, U'v'shem Hashem Ekra. It's the same concept. And interestingly, as the Netziv explains, once the first pasuk splits up into these two stages, the korban and the su'uda, the following pasukim likewise have these threaded through. The first part of each ensuing pasuk is stage one, the second part stage two. For what do we go on to say? Nidarai l'Hashem HaShalem, negda na l'cholamo. I will fulfill my vow to Hashem. That's bringing the korban in the day. Negda na l'cholamo, in front of everyone, is the suda at night. V'shem Hashem Ekra, negda na l'cholamo. You see how each one has its stage threaded through? And finally, the pasuk tells us the relative location for each of these things. What? How does the pasuk conclude? Bechatzos Beis Hashem, besocheich Yerushalayim. That pasuk isn't telling me that the Beis Hamikdash is in Yerushalayim. I know that. But what it's saying is each of these two stages takes place in a different locale. Where does the bringing of the korban take place? Bechatzos Beis Hashem. And where does the su'udah take place? Besocheich Yerushalayim. Anywhere in Yerushalayim. That's an amazing, it's almost like a three-dimensional parshanut. So that is what a korban todah is about. The Manishtana, says the Binyan Ariel, dates back to the Beis HaMikdash, as we know. The original formulation of Manishtana happened during the time of the Mikdash. In fact, one of the original questions we don't have anymore, which is why it is that we only are eating roasted meat tonight, where in all other nights we can have meat however we want. It's the Korban Pesach has to be roasted. That question clearly, in the absence of a Korban Pesach, got replaced or removed. Any child in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, when the Manishtana was already composed, cannot fail to recognize that the Korban Pesach is a Korban Todah. I mean, it has all the trappings of a Korban Todah. They've all gone to Yerushalayim. They've brought a korban. They're all sitting around. It's the following night. It's got korban todah written all over it. It is exactly the same. Almost. Because, coming back to those 40 loaves of bread that accompany the korban todah, the Torah tells us, of those 40, some of them are chametz, some of them are matzah. And that is the understanding of the question of Manishtana. When he says, on all other nights we eat chametz and matzah, he means chametz and matzah. And our question was, well, we never do that. True. But what he means is, on all other nights such as this, on all other korban todah nights, I know, there's 40 loaves, some are chametz, some are matzah. Where's the chametz? There's only matzah. That's the background to the question. What that means is that the original way the Seder is meant to be done, even a child realizes it is about Hoda'ah. That's where it's leading to. And so, the question with which we need to conclude, having devoted some time to appreciating and developing the atmosphere within Seder night, it's a night of Hoda'ah. The question is, where is it meant to take us? Where is all of this appreciation and gratitude, where does it leave us, shall we say, by the end of the evening? Well, the answer is that Seder night, by the time it's finished, should leave us exactly where Hashem took us when he took us out of Mitzrayim in the first place. The Torah says on so many occasions that the goal and the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim is lihios lachem lelokim, taken out of Mitzrayim, that lowly state with no status, to attain the most elevated status possible, the most elevated state possible, and that is of Hashem's nation, and that is what we ultimately what we celebrate on Seder night, of becoming Hashem's nation. Being it's, where the focus is not just where we were taken from, but where we were taken to. From Mitzrayim to Hashem. That's something that we celebrate every year. It's something that we reinforce every year. It's practically like the anniversary of the beginning of our relationship with Hashem. And we mark it every year. We appreciate how he started because we're still there. We're still in that relationship and it gets a boost every year for that year. I'd just like to conclude by referring to a fascinating comment, again going through the works of one of our great treasures, Reb Leib Mintzberg, Zatzal. And he takes us to a point in the Seder that I think we'll never get to naturally unless we start from the end and miss out all the other stages. Namely, Nirtza. Nirtza is by far the most elusive of all of the stages because it doesn't seem to reflect what its contents, and we're not exactly quite sure what it is. I know what challah is because I know what challah looks like, and I know what matzah is because I know what matzah looks like, and so on and so forth. But as you go through all of the stages, and each one it's quantifiable, and you can see it for what it is, and at the end we have the stage called Nirtza, and no one knows what to do. Or we know what to do, but we don't have that. Why is that called Nirtza? But what does Nirtza mean? The word Nirtza is from the Torah. When a person brings a korban, the Torah says, V'nirtza lo lechaper alav. And V'nirtza lo, it will be favorable for him. In other words, there are certain times in the year, there are certain things that we do that we conclude with a special request. It should be favorable before Hashem. Where do we see this? Generally speaking, in matters that relate to avoda. We don't do this after every mitzvah. One could, but we don't. Because clearly, it is a mitzvah that's about our relationship with Hashem. Avoda, korban, about that closeness. So if the mitzvah is about that closeness, so part of the closeness is that a person, Hashem should receive the person with favor, should be gracious towards him. And that's why when a person brings a korban, it says, v'nirtza lo. And that is exactly why we say, Ritzei, every day in our Shmona Esrei, because Shmona Esrei for us, it is a direct encounter. It's for us, it's the Avoda, Avoda Shebelev. And therefore, having gone through a process of Avoda and having that direct encounter, we don't leave without saying Ritzei. Ritzei Hashem Elokeinu, Be'amcha Yisrael, Uvispilosam, V'hoshev es Avoda, L'dvir Be'secha, that we want the full relationship to come back, including korbanos and everything that entails. In the meanwhile, we're holding on to that relationship, and it finds expression in davening. But we say an amazing thing, because there's two aspects about which we say ritzei: the amcha Yisrael, your nation, uvisvilasam, and their avoda. Anytime there's a mitzvah which is avoda, we follow it up with ritzei. And any time there's a mitzvah about the Jewish people and their relationship with Hashem, we follow it up with Ritzei. And that's where on Shabbos, which only exists for the Jewish people, that Beini Uvein Bnei Yisrael, that's so relationship-based, that's where the special edition in benching for on Shabbos is Ritzei. Ritzei V'Achlitzeinu. And that's how we end the Seder. Because the Seder has been about developing and reawakening and reinforcing and rejuvenating our sense of relationship with Hashem. He took us out of Mitzrayim to be His, and it's all about Hoda'a for that, and it's all leading towards that. And if that's what the evening's been all about, like any mitzvah that's all about our relationship with Hashem, we don't finish without saying Ritzei. And that's what Nirtza is. It's the final stage. We've gone through the Seder. We've reestablished and reinforced the relationship. And as such, we say that the relationship should be full. And this should lead to greater things. And that's why we say, Chasal Seder Pesach, the core of Nirtza is that first paragraph. Chasal Seder Pesach, Kilchaso. We've just gone through the Seder. Kasha Zachinu Lesader Oso, Kinizka Lasoso. All we have at the moment is Lesader Oso. But that's already holding on to that relationship and reinforcing it. Kinizka Lasoso. And that's where all of those hopes for the future, as again, as on Seder night, rooted in the core redemption from Mitzrayim. We do not let the evening go without emphasizing that and without rejoicing in it and exulting in it. And as because we're Jewish, asking for more, that should lead us. Piduyim litzion berina, which should happen. B'mehir b'yomim.